was very good, brother. I appreciate what you had to say. You talk about people migrating because of hardships and persecution. A couple of years ago, I learned about some Christians from India who had moved to the United Arab Emirates for that reason. And they were doing the best they could in a very hostile country where Christianity does not have much of a foothold. And Brother Lazarus from India, I had met him in another work, and he had encouraged that anyone who could should go over there and try to encourage these guys and help them. And Brother Lazarus and I actually went there earlier this year, and a man was baptized, and there's now four Christians there in the United Arab Emirates that are meeting as a congregation. And I was thinking about how much similar that is to what happened years ago when the church grew in California. The Christians from Arkansas and Oklahoma moved out to California for work. And it seems, if I know the history correctly, that they did not go out there and establish churches. They went out there and kind of fizzled out. But people who knew they were there sent preachers like Irvin Waters and Paul Nichols to go and preach in those communities and find out-of-duty church members and encourage them to step up and organize churches, and that's what happened. So my question is, when we see these sort of dispersions happening in places across the world where there are churches, what responsibility do we have to go into places like Botswana and the Emirates and other parts of the world where folks are migrating because of financial hardships, and to try to locate Christians who need some encouragement to step up and do what Acts 8:4 describes? Maybe you could comment a little bit about it there.
Well, I would comment. I think you're exactly right on the situation in California, and I think exactly the right thing happened there, although not exactly the right thing happened there. And I would hope that we would learn to do better in the future. They didn't go everywhere evangelizing the word. They should have done that, and they didn't do it. And so the purpose of, you know, sermons like this is to say, look, we don't know what the future's holding, but you train people before it happens, and you say, look, when you go, whatever happens, you go evangelizing the word. And so what should have happened didn't happen in California. However, evangelists were sent to follow up. Let's go. And they were sent. Here's what I like about that situation. They were sent, and this is where I think responsibility comes in. I don't want to lay too much heavy responsibility on us Americans. This is where responsibility comes in. Preachers from the area from which they had come went and preached to them. Now, I don't know exactly where those men were from, but in general, preachers from the area in which they had come went and followed up preaching, establishing the church. And I think that's probably a better situation. That's what happened in the Bible. I mean, it couldn't have been any other way. But preachers, Barnabas and the apostles, from where they had come, went and followed them preaching the gospel and establishing church. And I think that's a pretty good example. That's not the only. I don't say we have no responsibility. I think we're free as we have economic ability to go any place we see migrations happening. But I don't think we should say the responsibility is all ours. The responsibility is with, where did they come from? They're Christians. They're moving. They should have preached the word, but where did they come from? And so Ron and I go to Zimbabwe, and I was thinking about this. Last year I said, I'm going to teach this, you know, in Zimbabwe, whatever I taught last year. This year I recognize, hey, I need to teach these people. If they're going to be moving, they need to preach the gospel everywhere they go so that churches will be established. And to be honest, that needs to be taught. And Zimbabweans, we know Zimbabweans are not preaching the gospel. That's why we went down there. We wanted to help them, you know. But they're not establishing churches wherever they go. And they ought to be.
Does Acts 8, verse 4, and verses like it, teach us that the church grows best in an environment of persecution, or can it also flourish in a tolerant society?
I don't know. I think the church grows when Christians evangelize the word. I don't know all the problems of the world that we live in, but I think the church grows best whenever Christians evangelize the word. That's what I'd say.
About that question, Acts 8, 4, the church can grow in a flourishing situation. What that verse shows is that the church can grow even though there is persecution. That's what we need to remember. That just because things aren't the way we want them to be doesn't mean the church can't grow. Paul had a great open door, but he mentioned some what? He also had adversary. My comment, Rogers, a little different aspect. But I wanted to speak of something. You know, the Apostle Paul preached the gospel from Jerusalem to Illyricum. And in the book of Acts, it's go, 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 go. And they established certain churches, points, outposts, whatever you want to call. And then when you get to these epistles that are written to these churches that they established, you don't see much go, 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 go. You have people that settled down and living in a given area. They have families. They have occupations. They recreate, etc. In those epistles, usually the first three, if it's a six-chapter book, the first three chapters will probably be doctrine. And the last three chapters will probably be lifestyle. We do it in the inverse. Here's my point. In the regions in between, how were those areas in between, where those outposts were made, how were they, quote, unquote, evangelized? They were evangelized through the members of those local congregations who believed soundly the doctrine of the Word of God and had a lifestyle to match it. Each of us here has a world to share the name of Christ. Whether you're a young man, young lady, and I guess some people get old, I don't know. But either way, my point simply is this. The lifestyle of the church, based upon the holiness that those epistles emphasize, and first setting the doctrine which we are to have, that's how we're going to get the gospel in the regions in between. And there's lots and lots of people there. And one of the things is, I think we have to become less ashamed of saying to people, are you a Christian? How many denominations do you know, and you know people, and they'll ask you that question? Happens all the time. Do we have that kind of courage? Do we have that kind of wisdom? The point is, all of us recognize today there's people in sin, and they need a physician. But people don't go to a physician if somebody doesn't tell them they're ill. And that's one of the conflicts of the church today. We know everybody. We know the physician. We know the physician we need to have them go to. But we're afraid to tell anybody they're sick enough they need to go to that physician. Sorry, I just meant to make a comment about the epistles.
Well, thank you.
Bunner. Roger, I always enjoy listening to you. You're a very informative, very interesting speaker. It seems to me, as Ron was alluding to, we've got a problem about equipping the saints to go out and to be the type of Christians that we read about in Acts chapter 8. I'm afraid that if some of our congregations were dispersed today, that there wouldn't be all that many people that could take the faith with them into the communities where they would go. And so what are some recommendations that you would give as to how we can get American Christians to take their faith more seriously and to become prepared for such a time as may arise when there will be a dispersal, or even when someone has to move for economic reasons?
Well, I think history, except for Acts chapter 8 and verse 4, shows that sometimes we don't do a very good job. I just believe we have to keep teaching people. We just keep talking to people. Stand up and tell us something here, Richard.
I don't know the answer to that.
Yeah. I think we need to have people who are convinced, and I believe that we do here in this audience. That's the thing. We need to have people who are convinced that the salvation comes through believing in Jesus and baptism. And I've seen people who, having been baptized but for some reason have to move, end up in some denomination or something. Why? Didn't they believe? You know, didn't they believe that they have to believe in Jesus and be baptized? And so I believe we have to keep teaching that stuff, the basic things, although we have to keep teaching other things too. I don't have all the answers either, Richard.
That was excellent, too. To answer, I think, that question as well as others, I think, especially about migration, what we know about sociology is whenever things change in people's lives, whether it be a death or a birth or a job change, some kind of unsettledness in their life, and like you've pointed out, that's what's going on in Acts 8. Migration happens, or people move and things change. Well, during those times of change, those are the times whenever the priorities and the purposes come out. You know, why are we doing this? Why are we going? Where are we going? Why is this all about? What's it all about? What are we doing in the big scheme of things, you know, to get to where we want to go? And that's the time when people talk about what's important to them. And I think that's where the problem is. I think we have a form of sociology about the church. Our church is just a bunch of good people that have come together. No, we're here to make reconciliation. This goes back to the point I made the other day. We've forgotten that our purpose is to make reconciliation with Creator, with a God. And it's about God and God's will for our lives. And whenever we live a certain way, it's going to make a distinction between darkness and light, between good and evil. We are going to stand out among whom you shine as lights in the world. And if people don't understand why they're doing good, it's not just so you could have the praise of men, but it's so that you can please God and glorify Him, then we're always going to mess this up. It's not that our church is just as good as anybody else or better. It's the fact that God's God and we're not, and we need to make things right with Him. We need forgiveness, and we're trying to do those things which please our Creator. And I'm sorry, but I guess what I'm getting at is, if Christians don't understand their purpose, then what's happening is when they go for economic reasons. And that's the only reason why they went. And that's not good enough, you know. We're there to please God with our life that goes beyond our economics. And I think you're right. I think we need to teach our people to be salt and light in the world. I think we need to teach them we're here to make a difference and to try to get that why we're living down so that we're prepared to die. And not only that, but to spread the gospel. But I really appreciate your talking about that, because I just wanted to say that it's when migration happens, it's when those changes happen. And those are when people want to re-examine their purposes. And I think that's one of the reasons why whenever the church went everywhere preaching the gospel, they were successful. It's because those principles were being tested at that moment in time. And it continued on in their lives. But we've gotten to where we're rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and that's our problem. I think we're getting out of that, and we're starting to spread the news. But that's what we're going to have to get back to. We need to teach people this is reconciliation with God. This isn't about being a great church. It isn't about glorifying ourselves. It isn't about having a wonderful view of others in our communities. It's about making things right with God. And I really think we need to get back to the essence of it.
Thank you. I'll say one last thing. We got someone else? One last thing. When you gave me this topic, it was really, I thought, I fiddled around with this for a while. This is one of the hardest topics that I've ever been given. Last year I had a wonderful topic, you know, I could spell it all out and This year's not so wonderful. And you have to admit, you know, I don't have all the answers. I wish I had more answers. I don't have all the answers. I just know we need to be the people that we read about who they went everywhere preaching the word. And that's who we need to be. And we just have to each be thinking about it. We're each in different circumstances and situations and whatever way that we can be that way. That's who we need to be. Thank you.